You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, let's do a little fantasy football focus here. It's been a while. One thing I wanted to talk about, and you're going to hear this a lot if you're new to fantasy football, or even if you're not. I saw a little argument about this on Twitter, which made me think of it over the weekend. John Paulson, who writes for 444.com, I used to write for them, as did you for a while too, was talking about the zero running back strategy.
It's not for me, but it's interesting.
He said it should be changed to the hero running back strategy.
Okay.
Where you just draft one great one.
Okay.
And then punt on
and
the rest.
And then you're just hoping you hit something. Yeah. James Robinson from last year.
Yeah. Right. It's really, there's a lot of hope involved with this strategy. Like,
a couple things. Before I forget, a buzzword I keep hearing in the fantasy community now, too, is the running back dead zone. I don't know if you've heard this yet either. But like rounds 3 through 5, people have done a lot of off-season studies that the hit rate is bad. You know, like they're saying either go running back, or avoid that neighborhood because there's always a question with those dudes. Stay out of that neighborhood. It's a sweet spot.
Unless
for
you go
running back. I'm not a believer in the running back dead zone. I still think there's value there and be happy with it, or you know,
now,
whoever.
We've talked about this, and that you start looking at that round, let's say round 3. So from 24 to 36 will be round 3, most 12-team drafts.
Yeah, right.
So I'm looking here at ESPN's PPR rankings, and at the top running backs, you're looking at Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 28.
I have no problem with that, and especially in PPR.
J.K. Dobbins at 29. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs at 30. And then the next guy there, well, Chris Carson at 38. So that's the range that you're talking about. I'd be more than happy.
Oh, they're – I don't have any questions with those.
If I had gone running back in the first two rounds and then take one of those guys.
Right.
I'm
and
extreme.
Two to three hit?
Where all three of them hit.
All three like, might hit.
Why
right.
wouldn't all three of them hit? I can play if I have a flex spot in my league. I can always use that guy.
You're stealing one more running back away from.
You're taking teammates. One away from. Now you're forcing somebody league to go games. Zero running back.
Yeah, yeah. So back to the zero running back thing. I'm not. I have not seen enough of this running back dead zone thing. And the studies are. Let's go over the last 5 years. Running backs drafted from round 3 to 5. Are they worth the investment? A lot of people are saying no. Well. That's not going to deter me one bit.
I could probably look at receivers and say the same thing. There are some receivers.
Yeah.
I drafted some in those in that area last year, and they did not work out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And for people to understand what zero run back is it's not really zero. Like you said, most people are going to take a first-round running back.
Where they'll take one really – they'll take one at some point in those first three rounds.
That they plan on starting every week.
Yeah.
And then you're on a constant search for – a second running back starter throughout the year. And in a way, you can kind of stream them. You can pick guys up.
Every time somebody gets hurt, your first guy
your first guy spending money on it with the idea of, I probably have one of the top 6 quarterbacks and or one of the top 4 or 5 tight ends. I'm going to have really good receivers, you know, maybe the best group of receivers in the league. My point totals every week can get away with being really short at one starter. And probably picks 9 through 15, you're taking backup running backs. You know what I mean? Guys that might hit, and you're basically hoping for an injury outside your team type of deal.
Everybody's going to be ticked off at you.
You took everyone's handcuff.
Yeah, you took everybody's handcuff.
Maybe you have A.J. Dillon or you know someone like that.
Alexander Mattison or you know,
Frank, or I call him Frank Pollard. You know, Pollard in Dallas. Yeah. Guys like that, that if a really good player who was drafted well ahead gets hurt, or if you happen to find a James Robinson in week one off the waiver wire, the system works pretty well, you know. But you things that hurt you are then you don't have any depth at your other positions because you have more backs on your roster than you like.
Right.
And they're not necessarily good players.
So it's not really zero running back. It is
one in a match.
A whole bunch of crappy running backs, mm-hmm. you know.
And guys. We just know that position changes so much with injuries and stuff that you're hoping to be one of those guys that you hit the, you know, the lottery in that.
It can work, but everything has to fall right for you. Mm-hmm. Like you had, like this first, your first week of the season could be awful because
it could go for a while.
Yeah, and maybe. And if nobody gets hurt. Or if you don't have
maybe have good guys on the bench going off.
Yeah, or if you don't have the right guy, you didn't get the right handcuff, somebody mm-hmm. beat you to it, or whatever it may be, you're kind of hoping.
You're kind of hoping. And you could be searching all year. No, right. I think everyone knows my thought. I'm a heavy running back early and just plug those guys in. But that can hurt you. I mean, my first two picks last year were Mixon and Chubb.
Yeah.
You know, and I took Chubb and I traded him for Kittle because I thought I was so loaded at running back. I got one game out of Kittle,
yeah.
You know, and I didn't do well last year.
That's always part of the you know, when you pull the trigger on a trade like that.
Yeah.
One thing you can't get caught up in is where you drafted the guy.
No, I threw all that out the window.
Yeah.
Second.
Once they're on your roster, they're just
make my team
pieces.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah. How can you make your team better? And if it mm-hmm. comes down to I'm really weak at tight end, mm-hmm. and I've got this
I
surplus
I was really
of running,
good at running
backs,
back,
yeah,
and I wasn't.
But injuries happen at that position.
Yep, yeah. And I think the logic is, okay, if I'm drafting Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, he probably won't have a Mixon-type first round or Barkley or McCaffrey. Or there was a lot of them last year where better chance that I'll get my return on my investment on it. I get it, but I don't mind starting eighth-round receivers.
Right.
You know, where you're drafting backup long-shot running backs.
Yeah, nobody ever says zero quarterback or zero wide receiver.
No, right.
Like,
there's so many of them.
I can if I can start – if you have that flex option in your league and you can start three running backs.
One of these bell cows that
and you have three studs who all – if you get three guys who average 20 touches per game.
Right.
That's
my goal.
Key.
That's
the
goal.
Right, I want three of those guys because there's only about eight of them in the league.
There might even be 18 of them. I mean, maybe
average
not
20?
No, but they're consistent every week fantasy running backs.
Yeah.
Starter every week starters.
And I guess like a guy like Alvin Kamara wouldn't necessarily
Eklar.
Yeah.
Right,
they're gonna
right.
get the same number of or gonna get you the same points as a running back who does touch the mm-hmm. ball 20 times a game because they catch so many passes.
So
that's what makes McCaffrey so
right. I mean right. Let's say there's 15 to 18 every week starting running backs. And then that probably drops off by three or four by injuries as the season goes on. If you have two, you're in really good shape. If you have three, you probably win the league.
Yeah.
Because your floor, like, people forget this. I mean, my whole job in week three is to beat your team. I don't care if I'm the highest scoring team in the league. And I'll have a really high floor if I have three backs that are consistent producers.
If they're getting 20 touches a game, I can count on getting 15 to 20 points out of them.
Yeah, right.
Every week.
And then I'm in it.
If I get 60 points out of my
I'm not going to get a zero for my quarterback.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I might get trouble at tight end. But even if I have DeSean Jackson, Joey Galloway-like receivers, one of those hits a home run, I win the week.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I think running backs give you the floor.
Yeah.
Zero RB is risky. I've never tried it. I don't think
because
I ever
will.
Because
if you take that zero, or let's say you get 5 points out of your running back and the other guy's getting 20 out of his –
where am I making it up?
Where are you making that? You better have really good receivers. You better have like Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams on your roster.
Right. Or Mahomes
to make that work.
Outscoring the opponent, you know, quarterback by 10 points.
Yeah,
or,
throwing for 405
Kelsey.
Touchdowns that week.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think running backs, I know they're volatile for keeping them healthy, but they're not volatile for who's going to touch the ball. Najee's going to touch the ball. Mixon's going to touch the ball. You know.
Yeah.
Give
me one of those guys. Give me three of those guys. And
talented
then,
guys that get volume.
If I'm able then to pick up a guy on the way, if I get a James Robinson on the waiver wire,
oh.
Now I've got a tradable commodity. I can either trade Robinson or I can trade one of my top three backs because mm-hmm. Robinson's getting 20 touches a game.
Right, because there will be – the whole logic behind zero RB, as I call it, is some players will manufacture themselves into 20-touch a player guys. And if I can throw more darts than my opponents – I hope I hit one of them. And you hope your first-round running back doesn't
get hurt.
Then yeah. Because that's the other thing is if you were mixing McCaffrey, Barkley, whoever last year that went in the first round, and that's the one guy you trust, you got no fallback plan at all. You're starting two bad dudes for a long time, hoping you find it. I mean, that to me is the big problem.
Yeah.
I can't live with two spots on my roster. I can live with maybe one and do my best to, you know, manufacture it, or but two is a problem.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I tried it 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and man, I was you're just scrambling the whole season, like
you're
trying
always
to,
swimming upstream,
trying to figure out. Okay, I'm playing against McCaffrey this week, and mm-hmm. he's going to put up 25 points,
yeah,
minimum. How am I matching that?
How am I matching that? Yeah, exactly. And if you do go three running backs in a row, and you happen to find another. They always have value. Like it's
right.
you kind of mentioned this before. Like, yeah, I can trade Mahomes or Lamar, but there, how many teams in my league are asking for a quarterback?
Yeah.
How many teams in the league are begging for another receiver? Like, few. I mean,
you can pick them up every
really
week.
Hard at receiver to, yeah. to be begging somebody, but everyone will always take a running back off
yeah.
their hands.
You should, in your draft, collect running backs like they're gold.
Yeah, right. You know, like, kind of worked out, but I used a fifth-round pick, or I think it was a sixth-round pick last year on J.K. Dobbins, even though I took three running backs right away because I was really high on him. That didn't work out super swell either. You know, that's why yeah. I thought I had the running back depth.
Well, I had too many rookies last year. Typically, that too. Works out okay.
Last year was a...
But last year was an outlier. Like,
just missed.
I had
that.
Akers and Dobbins sitting on my bench for most of the season.
Yeah. Like, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's really
kept
rough.
Waiting for them to hit, and then they finally did at the end of the year. By that time, it was too late for me.
Too late, yeah. You lost too many L's in your, on yeah. your docket.
But
I don't know.
Nobody would have wanted to play me in the playoffs, I can tell you that.
Sure. The other thing with running backs, too, is when you have one that rarely is a guy going to get 18, 19, 25 touches and then not the next week.
Right.
You know, like once they kind of
grab
the
job. Unless
he
plays for the Rams.
Right. But then you start the right guys every week.
Yeah.
You know, like that's always a problem, too, with zero RB or, boy, I got four really good receivers. Who are my best guys to check the box on Sunday morning?
Like, yeah.
When you have a couple good running backs, that's just easy.
It is. You just keep them in the lineup. You don't change them out unless they're on
yeah.
the bye. I like to come out of a draft with at least four starting running backs.
Yeah.
If I can do that.
That you know get touches every week.
That I know we're
going
to get
right.
at least 15 touches on a regular basis. Like,
it's not uncommon for me to go running back, too.
Yeah.
If you have a flex.
Yeah. I mean, I have drafted, you know, the first three picks. I've done it three of the first four rounds. But usually even by round six, I got another guy.
Mm-hmm.
On there. Maybe he's not doesn't have the pedigree of those other. That's where I take the rookie.
And hope he's
and hope he hits.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually
because then all of a sudden now you're playing with some, you know, mm-hmm. I can trade one of those guys for a top receiver.
Oh, anytime.
Real easily, yeah.
And a few of those guys, you can always go get Mike Evans.
Right.
And he's great, you know, but somebody will give you Evans and, you know, Pollard for one of your starting running backs.
A lot of times I'll target somebody who's really, like I would target like a Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, okay, I'll overpay for him. Here's Tyree, I'll give you.
Make him an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, Mike Evans and you know, this running back who's.
Yeah, who's better than what you got.
Yeah, better than what you got for Tyreek Hill. And you look at it and go, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because let's make a deal. I want to force the deal. It's going to make me. I'm not starting one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, but I'm upgrading on what I have.
The more you say that, if I went back and looked at my last 15 years of playing fantasy, I bet that's how I would have been my most victories is. I went running back very early. After a month or so of watching NFL football for that year, I had a pretty good handle of who's who and who's what. And, you know, everyone's guilty of it, but this time of year, we're guessing. You
yeah.
know, I mean, if I can actually watch four game tapes of, you know, the Jags and teams, I don't know what's going to be, what they're going to bring. And then about that time of the year, October or so, I go trade for a number one receiver because
yeah.
I didn't draft one because I think
right.
I'm a receiver late.
But
guy.
Now you got your, you know what your other guys are
mm-hmm.
at that point.
And there's some team that's hurting and will give you up that number one receiver. I bet that's where I've gotten my most fantasy championships is I add the last piece as a wide receiver one week six, seven, eight,
yeah.
know, something like that when I know a lot more and I'm operating from a position of strength.
And I've still got that nice basis of my running
yeah.
back. I've still got that.
I have
baseline.
The thing that the other teams don't have.
And now I'm adding that number one receiver to the mix.
Who where, almost never is going to bust for you.
Right. And if I had drafted that number one receiver, I don't get the top three. I don't get those three running backs that are carrying
right.
my team.
Because you can get that guy at a discount. You know, like if, I don't know, Devontae Adams, whoever. The receiver five off the board probably cost you the 15th pick in your rookie in your draft.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably get him for a fourth round value in week six when that guy has a running back injury. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you're buying.
It's just another reason to load up on the position because there are going to be injuries.
And
now,
you could get by.
Hopefully they don't happen to you.
Well, of course. I mean, anyone gets hit hard by injuries, you're doomed. You know, that's just, that's the, we have a big running battle in my league of, is fantasy luck or skill?
Both.
And it's very much both.
Yeah.
But I have most people convinced that it takes more to derail my team than the other 11 in the league. Of my high school buddies,
right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't. We're all drafting off the same list.
I mean, there's a reason. I mean, like
the first five rounds, anyone can pick.
I always put out a little thing every time I send out a news. Like we used to have a newsletter every week, and I would always, you know, answer it, get emailed out, and like the, you know, the lollygaggers are the winningest franchise in you know league history, and it's true. I may not always win the championship, but we're in the mix because you kind of know what I'm doing with this.
I'm 48. We started this league, I think, when I was, like, just graduating college. So let's say it's been 20 years around. It took me a while to get out of college.
20 years.
Here nor there.
Yeah.
But let's say this league's been going on 20 years. I mean, it's a big-ass sample size. I have a winning record against all 11 other teams. You know, no team has a winning record against me. I am either tied or second for most championships, green jackets, and I have the best winning percentage in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I can have a bad year like anyone else. I mean, last year I was one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, but you can't tell me it's not skill-based.
Yeah. But there's, I mean, there is the luck part of it is who you play in that week.
Some of that.
You know, that's where the luck comes into play, you know.
Yeah.
Injuries. If I have a great week and somebody outscores me that week.
Right.
It is what it is.
But over a 20-year period, they balance out. You had a bad week and someone, and you still got a win that you didn't deserve. You know, those things happen too. But
by and large, I mean, my teams are always in the upper half of the points.
Mm-hmm.
They're always, you know, I usually have a pretty good record.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but I like how our league that I'm talking about divvies out the chicklets at the end of the year. Is I think it's 50% for the team that has the highest point total, 25% for the Super Bowl winner, which can be the same guy, and 25% for the second point total. So the head-to-head stuff doesn't break your heart as much, you know, like – been a couple times where I ran away with the point total, and I remember like Antonio Brown and both my starting running backs were hurt for the one playoff game, and I lost.
Yeah.
But I was clearly the best team, but I still went home with a lot of chicklets, you know.
The money to me doesn't, it's secondary.
I know.
It's the ability to talk smack on your.
I agree.
You know.
But I think it is flawed that the most chicklets go to a Super Bowl winner because you kind of have to get hot at the right time and. You know, I think the point leader is the most impressive thing.
I think 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, lost the Super Bowl on a tiebreaker.
I lost one on the third tiebreaker once.
Yeah, like that.
We had to keep going. We never saw it before, and it was a fraction of a point.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
That's a tough way to lose the
the
championship. But so I mean, you're going to read a lot about the zero running back. You're going to, I think, any regular listener to the show knows that Matt and I are not in the.
Camp I'm not that, ignoring that position and hoping.
No, to do that or draft a quarterback early.
Yeah, I agree on that, and I'm always like the last one in my league to draft a quarterback. But I'm open to the idea that that's changing because I think there's five or six. That I sure hate playing against every week. You know what I mean? Like Mahomes and Lamar and Allen and Dak. If you don't have one of them.
But here's the thing. You identify. Like I drafted Josh Allen last year well after I drafted my starter.
Sure. Or Lamar the year before.
There's definitely those
guys. But it almost reminds me of the NFL argument of I can get running backs in the late rounds. Yeah, you can. And it's easier than finding a sixth round great running back in the NFL, but having that bird in the hand is nice because there's a handful of them, and if you, it seems like you always play against one every year, every week. I don't know. I don't know where I would take them. I'm not taking them before my top three running backs, but I might really ignore wide receiver. Like I'm thinking about my top six picks might be three running backs, a top tight end, a top receiver. That doesn't add up. My top five picks might be. And then just go kind of zero receiver. Like draft receivers in seven, eight, nine rounds, and then to take a shot on somebody down the road and figure they're going to all be okay.
The only problem with that is then you're guessing which one of your receivers is going to be good that week.
Is it Judy or Sutton or Claypool or Deontay?
You know, then you're kind of –
you're definitely in that mold.
As opposed to having just that argument about your who's my number three receiver this week, now you're arguing, okay, who's my number one and two receiver this week?
I got five guys I don't love that are all okay.
And then you got one of them sitting on the bench, and he has his best. You can play that game.
Yeah, you do. But that's when you trade for the number one receiver in week eight.
Right.
know what I mean? And, and someone of those five already emerged. I don't know. I'm just reconsidering tight end a little bit, and especially quarterback, that maybe I should have been a little too set in my ways not to take a top guy. Because I thought the fantasy MVP last year was Kelsey. I mean, of all the good, I mean, the McCaffreys and all those guys didn't hit. Kelsey was like having two starters.
Yeah. I'll say this, that Josh Allen kept my team in contention for a long time last year, and I got him like the 12th round.
I mean, of course you can do that. Maybe the move is you take 10th round, 11th round, 12th round quarterbacks.
Take three and hope. You know, who's
that
the guy?
Run.
Yeah, who's the guy this year that you look at and say, boy, he could be the guy that.
Talking about quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to say Jalen Hurst.
I think he's going to go higher than people.
But that's the thing is he's not.
I'm looking here at ESPN's rankings. They got him 11th.
He's going to go high.
Yeah.
I mean, who's out of their top 12? Or who's 12 and later? Let's say 11, the top 10.
12 is Burrow, so 13 is Stafford.
So let's say the top 11 quarterbacks in a 12-team league have been picked, and you and I are the only team that has not taken one yet. So we know we can wait. So we're talking like Burrow, Stafford as the top couple.
Matt Ryan, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, Roethlisberger, Daniel Jones, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields.
Fields is nice, especially if you're going to take three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're really taking shots.
And you don't need him to start right away. But when Fields takes over in, say, week six, he could have – I mean, Jalen Hurts last year in the second half of the season was one of the highest scoring quarterbacks in the league.
Exactly. I was about to say, I would rather have Fields than Hurts if I knew they were both starting.
Yeah.
Even though I'd never seen the guy play before. Yeah, he's one, without question. I guess Lance could fall in that category.
I'm just looking here down the list. I think Darnold might fall into that.
Yeah.
A little bit this year. Better weapons.
How about Jameis?
Jameis has some, I don't
Hill needs to go away.
Yeah. I don't – yeah, because, I mean, they did it last year a lot – last few years with Drew Brees. Okay, Brees gets him down the field, and here comes Taysom Hill inside the 10. Like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
It does hurt.
It just kills you.
Fields is a good one. I don't know if Zach Wilson can hit enough.
I talked about Drew Lock last year.
He's good for fantasy.
I still think there's some potential there for him to be that guy if he wins a starting. He's going to run.
Some leagues don't kill you for interceptions either.
Yeah.
Lock's not bad. Daniel Jones is better in fantasy than he is the real world, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a guy.
I don't love him at all, but they had a lot of design runs for him before he got hurt. And he's got weapons.
And they're behind a lot.
Probably.
I mean,
yeah.
They're just behind a lot.
There is a group there, though, the Bens and Cousins and Ryans and Bradys and that don't run that are kind of established. And they're better than people think. Like Kirk Cousins you can win games with, but he's never going to hit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not going to be a top five quarterback that you've got.
Burrow could be.
This is the 20th quarterback taken.
I guess Burrow's 12th on that list.
Yeah.
He could be. Maybe he gives you 200 yards rushing. They're losing a ton. They got receivers. You know.
Yeah, it's always an interesting question. One other guy to keep an eye on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Carson Wentz is ranked 25th.
He's better for fantasy.
I'm still not getting off that bus. Like
he's aggressive. You want aggressive.
If he's my number two quarterback, he's got okay weapons.
Mm-hmm.
A change of scenery could do him good.
But this move, like where do you think he's going in drafts? 12th round? I bet you could go Fields, Darnold, Wentz, 10, 11, 12.
I know Wentz is going to be the starter.
Right. Darnold, too.
Yeah.
I can live with those two. All have high upside. Fields might take me a while till he gets on the field, but so what?
Care.
He'd go right past those two the second he does. That might be the move. You know, they're all in new homes, and there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks already picked before those guys are gone. Matt Ryan's going to be gone by then.
Like, yeah.
So what? Take them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stafford's going to be gone. Give me those three and just see where we're at.
Yeah, I think that's one way to look at it, one way to go.
Strategy we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, take three quarterbacks, not two. Sometimes you only take one.
The other thing you do when you take three quarterbacks like that, those guys then you're eating up the depth in the league.
Waiver wire's bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And then somebody has a quarterback injury. Well, okay, I got Carson Wentz. Here's, mm-hmm. you know, one of these guys that I can trade.
I'll give you that and a receiver for a number two receiver. Yeah. You know. Yeah, it's not bad. And
the price is
dirt cheap.
Dirt cheap, yeah. I'm taking these guys, you know, rounds 10 through 15, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to flip them for a guy that you took in the third round.
And you could start Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I mean, week one's ugly at the quarterback position for you. I mean, you're probably going, Wentz has a better matchup than Darnold. I'll start him, see what happens. And he may be terrible, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, someone's going to – you can always trade for
I don't know. Who are they playing in week one? Are they playing Texans?
Or I don't know. Right. I mean, it's good divisions to play against. I kind of like that strategy. I bet I could probably come up with five names. Fields, Lance, Darnold, Wentz, Winston.
Derek Carr wouldn't
Locke.
Hurt you in it, you know?
You're right. I'm thinking about the home run. I'm not sure Carr can ever be a home run.
No, but he gives you that baseline.
Yeah.
That you can start in week one and not be,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And maybe you take that approach. Give me Carr, Fields, and Lance. And you just hope that one of the rookies steps up and takes a job. Cam Newton is one of those guys, too.
Yeah.
If he's the guy there, he's not going to throw six touchdowns again or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting way. Like, I don't want Tom Brady. I don't want
Ryan. I don't want Brady.
I don't want these guys that don't run the – I don't want Roethlisberger.
I don't want Ben.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I mean, they have to throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns to make up for what these guys that throw for 3,000 and run for 500 get you.
It's bad. And, like, Brady was really good last year. Is he going to throw for that many touchdowns this year? Probably not. I mean, it's a great supporting cast, but not running is crucial. It's almost like running backs that don't catch passes.
Yeah. Makes things really difficult. Like, you get – If you're ceiling on those guys, okay, so he gets you 300 yards and throws for two touchdowns, and that's, you know, 20 to 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's not – you're playing Lamar that week, and he, you know, throws for 200 but runs for 100 and rushes for a couple. Like,
some of those guys are really game script dependent too.
Yeah.
I mean, if Tampa's beating up on Carolina 20 to nothing at the half, how much is Tom going to throw in the second half? You know what I mean? Or Ben has a big lead, or you know, you need Atlanta to be losing by 30 at the half for Ryan to keep chucking it. You know, it's kind of like running backs don't catch passes. Like Chubb and Henry are great when they're 7-point favorites,
right?
And they're just smothering people. But if they're coming from behind,
And now you're in trouble.
Right.
Now
things don't go with the plan, which rarely they do in the NFL. It's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
But that is going to do it for this show. So that was our fantasy football focus. For my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.